and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump says America is back. That proclamation coming during last night's address to a joint session of Congress, where he described his first weeks in office this way.
It has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country.
He spoke about tariffs on imports from China, Mexico, and Canada just hours after they went into effect.
Whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them.
And while Trump said the days of rule by unelected bureaucrats are over, he praised his chief cost cutter, Elon Musk, who Democrats say wasn't elected by anyone.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Everybody here, even this side, appreciates it, I believe.
I'm Matt Piper. Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan delivered the Democratic response to President Trump's speech.
America wants change, but there's a responsible way to make change and a reckless way. And we can make that change without forgetting who we are as a country and as a democracy.
And on tariffs and the economy.
The president talked a big game on the economy, but it's always important to read the fine print. So, do his plans actually help Americans get ahead? Not even close.
That line of storms that ripped through the parts of the Deep South yesterday has moved east after leaving two people dead in Mississippi and heavy damage there and in Texas and Oklahoma. Some of those high winds made it to Louisiana. This man lives in Gramercy between New Orleans and Baton Rouge and says he's pretty sure a tornado blew past his house.
I saw it coming. And next thing you heard, we walk inside and I tell my fiance, I was like, hit the floor. And next thing you know, it blows my daughter's window out.
Those storms now stretch from North Florida into Canada. The Vatican says Pope Francis had a restful night. He remains in stable condition. His prognosis is still guarded after nearly 3 weeks of hospitalization for double pneumonia. The Supreme Court will hear two cases involving a decades-long dispute over how to store thousands of tons of nuclear waste. A preview from CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The Supreme Court has two questions. Can Texas and private landowners challenge a decision to grant a license to private companies to store nuclear waste? And does the commission have the authority to license to store that waste away from nuclear reactor sites?
Wall Street appears ready for a comeback after 2 days of heavy losses, the Dow dropping 670 points yesterday, but Dow futures this morning are up 245. S&P futures are up 38. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks with a win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hawks 127-121. Atlanta had the lead midway through the game. Doc Rivers asked about what he didn't like about the Bucks defense in the first half.
I just thought they got in transition early. They made two or three threes off our missed layups. So second half, I thought we were way better. First half, I didn't think. We showed video at halftime where first three steps we were jogging, they were running by us. Second half, we didn't do that, and we took that away from them.
College hoops. It's the Badgers at Minnesota tonight in the border battle. Marquette on the road at UConn. The Packers re-signing their free agents. First, it was linebacker Isaiah McDuffie. Now, kicker Brandon McManus gets a 3-year deal worth $15 million, $5 million guaranteed.
You know, I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity. I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
That's kicker Brandon McManus with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe.
A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite 8 Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. Snow will be heavy at times, especially during the day Wednesday. Total accumulation expected around 3 to 7 inches. Overnight lows in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees and blustery northeast winds. Currently 38 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 5th, 2025. 3/5/25 in the checkbooks. And it's a No, I'm not going to do it today. It's not a beautiful day. I mean, on the inside, it's always a beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. But no, it's gross out there. It's ishy. It's wet. It's cold. It's snowy. And it's also dangerous, quite frankly. Please be careful. If you're not just driving outside, walking outside, anything that you might have to do. Look, this is all going to get past us. Spring is right around the corner, just not today. So take it easy out there. I'll give you more about the Wisconsin forecast coming up in just a bit, but we are happy to have you here across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening on the app, watching us on Facebook or YouTube or catching us later by podcast. It's nice to have you along to get the day started here on Up North News Radio. My question for you is pretty simple. Can this country get through another 1,417 days with this guy as president? Probably can. Probably. Not that there won't be pain. Not that there won't be pain. But I'm going to try to put in perspective as briefly as possible President Trump's so-called address to a joint session of Congress yesterday. So that's coming up in just a bit. Coming up on the program, Congressman Mark Pocan will be here around 7:30. With his own take. I saw that he was in the chamber there last night, and he'll give us a reaction to Trump's promise of continued carnage for the American economy. We have our climate check coming up this hour with Melissa Baldoff. We'll be talking about cuts at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, the parent company of the National Weather Service, and I think I'm able to encapsulate what it is that Trump is doing with the cuts there. It's basically somebody who's putting his fingers in his ears and saying la, 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 la about the harm that is going to be done to the climate if he reverses a lot of the progress that we've made over the past several years. In our second hour, we will also have three guests from two different school districts talking to us about all the many referendums that will be on the ballot again across Wisconsin on April 1st. And we will remind you yet again that the reason we are in this position is that Republicans have led the legislature for 15 years now, just about. And each year, each budget cycle, the increase that they provide in state aid doesn't keep up with inflation. So that's 16 years of falling farther and farther behind and asking property taxpayers to make up the difference. And so each time these school districts have to make the case to voters saying the legislature's not doing their share. Would you please do that? Would you make up what these politicians aren't doing and try to get the voters not to punish the school district for the shortcomings and the laziness of the legislature? So we'll talk to folks from Prentice and Marinette coming up in our second hour. We'll talk to Todd Alba. We should be visiting with Melissa Kay from WFHR Radio in today's history lesson. And, of course, we'll have Greg Bach right after I tell you a bit about the weather for today. Brittany's statewide forecast says windy with whiteout conditions today. Take that seriously. Temperatures will fall below freezing through the day. Anything that is simply wet right now will turn to ice today. Highs will be in the mid-20s up north, mid-30s in the south. A north wind today at sustained 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts to 45 miles an hour. Tonight, blustery. Some flurries early out east and then clearing skies. Still cold all around the state tonight, one more time. Lows near 10 up north, 20 in the south. Northwest wind tonight at 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts to 40 miles an hour. And then come Thursday begins the warm-up. So there will be some good news, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will tell us all about that coming up about 1 hour from now. This morning it's 30 right now in Chippewa Falls. Hayward's at 26, Amory 28, Wausau 34. Wisconsin Rapids reporting 36 right now. It's 34 in La Crosse, 38 in Green Bay, 41 in Madison, 41 in Milwaukee. And it's 42 degrees at Radio Park in Racine, where Mr. Bach joins us now from what I assume is just, yes, again, tropical, wet and tropical before things freeze later on. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Pat. Just grand.
This is where we are, folks. And yep. I'm going to say over and over again that we're not going to shelter you from, you know, the news and the weather and everything else. We'll get, but we will give you moments of what do we call it? Lightness,
levity,
camaraderie, all the good things that we could use. Then that we can give to one another.
Yes,
and I've heard other show hosts say this. It's like, look, we're all going through this.
Yeah.
I know as much as I try to be, you know, above the national malaise out there, that when Friday hit last week and we were going to go visit Sherry's parents on the farm out in Manitowoc County. And I thought, well, I could stay behind and get some work done, get caught up on things. No. I went out there, and while Sherry played sheep's head with her parents and her siblings at the dining table, mm-hmm. I collapsed into a recliner and did absolutely nothing. I went on a full news blackout, which is exactly what you need to do. You need to take a break now mm-hmm. and then. And, although I will again say, conversely, it's also wrong to tune it all out entirely. Permanently. You can't just be, oh, I'm never going to watch the news ever again. Can't do that either. Find your balance.
Yeah, that's the thing that, you know, we talk about on Air, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m., no noon on Civic Media Radio Network. We talk about on Air, is that in the last half hour of the show, we changed the tone. Because if we just did 2 hours of everything that's in the news, that would just not be. And we've had people say to us, no, you got to report all the news. I'm like, nope. Because no matter how bad we think it may get in the next 4 years, you will laugh in the next 4 years. You will
absolutely
have fun. You will connect. You will have moments of levity. So mm-hmm. if we can provide that for two segments on our show where you're going to laugh a little, that's great for us.
Yes. I mean, that, and it's the thing that we enjoy doing. We really do. And so we'll keep that up. We'll keep reminding you of some of the better parts of living in Wisconsin. You know, Christina Lurie does that through our morning newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com, for example. And so we just let everybody know, just ride with us. Go on the ride with us. It's not the ride we necessarily wanted,
yeah.
And it's not a ride that won't have its hazards, but come along with us.
Yeah.
Speaking of said newsletter, Christina put together this morning's edition. Again, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. She's noting Women's History Month and is celebrating Wisconsin Trailblazers all throughout the month. Today, story's all about Shirley Abramson, Wisconsin's 25th Chief Justice and the first woman to serve on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So look for that. There is also a new 9-foot sculpture in La Crosse called The Hatched Baby. It's a big blue baby emerging from an egg. Not exactly the giant muskie in Hayward, but, you know, unique in its own way. And then again, one more story from her. She talks about, you know, the air traffic controllers and sometimes a very thankless job. But she reminds us of just how safe air travel is when our air traffic controllers are allowed to do their job and to do it well. So, again, sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. We also have a weekend newsletter edition. It comes out on Sunday mornings that we just got started, and it includes a question of the week that I put together. The Sunday morning one is strictly political news. So we try not to overdo it on political news in the weekday newsletter, but the weekends we kind of give a little wrap-up. And I see the responses are still coming in to our question of the week of what should be done with the cuts, the wrecking ball that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are taking to government right now. And I really appreciate that. I mean, most folks don't have to take the time to send in an email. Now, granted, some of the emails that come in, you know, will say you're a socialist and other nasty things. But so many other folks put some real thought into sending a note back saying, I choose option C, you know, that there should be a bipartisan commission on spending cuts because of X, Y, and Z. Or they'll send in, you know, I choose A, keep rolling because I support Trump and this is what I wanted to see happen. Granted, a lot of this week's answers have been D. Trump needs to stop and pull back. He's doing tremendous damage and needs to reinstate some folks. That's not a big surprise to me, putting together the newsletter that I do. But again, I get the well-rounded range of answers from folks. And that part is again, greatly appreciated. So sign up for that newsletter and give us your feedback on it as well. Let's do a little sports at 6:17. From the Packers front, kicker Brandon McManus is going to be staying with the team, a 3-year deal, $15 million. That's right, Greg. I did the math. $5 million a year for 3 years. $15 million total to be a kicker. Yep. Good work if you can get it. The New York Jets have released Devontae Adams after just 11 games. Let the speculation begin. For the Bucks, Giannis had his 7th triple-double of the season against the Atlanta Hawks last night. He had 26 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists as the Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks 127-121. Damian Lillard scored 23. The Bucks have won 3 in a row, 7 of their last 8. They remain in 4th place in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland and Boston and the New York Knicks. There is basketball tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network as the Badger men's basketball team takes on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in the Twin Cities. Coverage begins at 6:30 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, and on the Civic Media app as well. The Marquette men's basketball team is at UConn tonight. And then both men's basketball teams have one more game to play this weekend before they begin their respective conference tournaments in the Big East and in the Big Ten. The Badger women's hockey team continues their conference tournament Friday up in Duluth, and the Badger men's hockey team heads to Ohio State Friday, Saturday, potentially Sunday for the Big Ten tournament there. We'll get into the Donald Trump speech and the real significance behind it right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence. Compassion for people.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the Notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All right, first things first. Before I apologize for this earworm, let me apologize for yesterday's earworm, because from time to time yesterday, that Martika song, Toy Soldiers, that we played 24 hours ago now.
Yeah.
I was just like, I made it done, but I got to apologize to the listeners. That thing just gets in there. It's like, ugh. So how do I show my apology? I play Andy Gibb.
Don't need to apologize to me. This song's groovy.
He's part of today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, March the 5th. We have a live event coming up 1 week from today down in Madison. We will be talking about the state Supreme Court race with three different panel discussions, each one a little, 20 minutes or so, 20 to 30 minutes, about the economy, about reproductive rights, about education. Because in all three areas, the outcome of the April 1st election will have tremendous implications in all three areas, because this is an open seat. And if Judge Susan Crawford wins, then progressives will maintain control. If Brad Schimmel wins, conservatives will retake control and will pull the court in a much different direction in those areas. And so we've got some great panelists on each of those topic areas who are going to be joining us. And we'd love to have you do the same. If you want to catch it in person at the Overture Center there in downtown Madison next week, the 12th from 5 to 7 p.m., head over to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme and register to join us there. But I'm also happy to tell you that there will be a live stream option, and the good folks at the Civic Media Radio Network will be providing coverage of it as well. So details on that all to come for a big event 1 week from today for the Wisconsin Supreme Court Forum, brought to you by Up North News and carried by our friends at Civic Media. While we are talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I'm just going to take a little bit of, I don't know if delight is the right answer. Michael Gableman, the former Supreme Court justice, big-time conservative, to the point where when he was asked to, quote-unquote, investigate the 2020 presidential election, he got nothing done. He found nothing, and he cost you, the Wisconsin taxpayers, millions of dollars and made all kinds of mistakes, to the point where he has been hauled before a state disciplinary board. Well, now Gableman is refusing to testify before that state disciplinary board, alleging that he violated rules governing attorney behavior. As first reported by WisPolitics and also by the Journal Sentinel, the Office of Lawyer Regulation filed a motion Friday compelling Gableman to sit for a deposition in 2 weeks after Gableman canceled with short notice on a previously agreed upon meeting in February. Instead of seeking some kind of an order to limit or stop it, Gableman simply had his attorney send an email saying he wouldn't attend because of Fifth Amendment concerns. That's not how it works, although that's not the first time Michael Gableman has ever heard that line when it comes to his legal career. So, again, a former state Supreme Court justice who threatened to jail local officials who would refuse and come talk to him during his investigation, quote unquote, into the election, is now refusing to give a deposition himself. Never change, Michael Gableman. Well, history was made at the U.S. Capitol Tuesday night, the first address to a joint session of Congress by a convicted criminal. President Trump returned to the scene of the January 6th crime, triumphant at having won an election by promising lower prices and stability. In his speech, he outlined his plans for higher prices and even more instability. I'm not going to go through point by point everything that he got wrong, the falsehoods, the baseless bragging, taking credit for things that got done under Joe Biden, the endless insults, ducking of any responsibility for the harm that he's causing others, the gratuitous use of violence for cheap applause lines so that J.D. Vance and Mike Johnson, who were much more reminiscent of Beavis and Butthead, could giggle in the background. How things have changed from how it once looked when the vice president sitting back there was Kamala Harris and the Speaker of the House was Nancy Pelosi. And now we've got these two jokers sitting back there. Rather than focus on the speech, because it was a speech everybody has heard snippets of before. There were the false claims about having a mandate when it was actually one of the closest elections ever. Again, you can look at more than one fact checker out there. I want to just focus for a moment here on what Democrats did or were supposed to do, because there's been a lot of discussion about that. Should they attend? Should they not attend? Should they disrupt or should they just sit there silently but still represent the people? Should there be signs? Some of them had little signs along with them. Should they skip it entirely and engage in some counter programming? There isn't any one right answer, and people did what they thought they had to do. One Democratic member quite purposefully got himself thrown out, while others, left partway through. The thing is, the more I thought about it, and the more it seemed like this was just a standard Trump campaign address to all the frat boys that were applauding him in Congress, and it's a real comment on the state of Congress today that it's got this frat boy feel to it these days. But it occurs to me that the one takeaway from all of this is that it's now part of American political theater, and it's almost like it's the final chapter in the campaign. In a presidential campaign, you've got these big rallies, and you've got these long speeches, and you're giving these speeches to your own supporters by and large. And it seems like somebody wrote a rule, and the rule says, well, if you win, the winner gets to give his campaign speech, or her gives to give their campaign speech one more time in front of America, and the losing party has to just sit there. And that's the way that I choose to look at it. There are plenty of other opportunities to protest and to oppose and to obstruct. But in this case, it was, all right, you won the election. You get to deliver your campaign speech in front of the people that you beat. And nobody's going to remember anything after that. This day will be forgotten. There are much more substantive things in which this nation has to carry on. Melissa Baldoff is next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With everything that a farmer is thinking about these days, sometimes taking a break from farming can be time well invested. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Next week, dairy producers are being encouraged to take a break from farming and attend the 2025 Business Conference for the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. Mitch Brunig, who's a dairy farmer himself with Mystic Valley Dairy in Roxbury, says he's made the effort to attend since 1995 and doesn't regret a moment away from the farm for that conference.
There's something for everyone there, and it's really a good conference to sort of meeting you where you're at. You know, when I first went, you know, I was intimidated. Like, I'm just this little 80-cow farmer from Roxbury, and, you know, the people that I see in the room, I just always idolized. And when you get to sort of rub shoulders and talk to them, we're all farmers. We all sort of have the same battles. Getting away from the farm and not hearing what dad and grandpa say, it probably might be one of the most powerful things a young person in the dairy industry can do. It's a great big world out there, and just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean we need to continue to do it that way.
Mitch Brunig, he's a dairy farmer from Roxbury at Mystic Valley Dairy. He'll be among the thousands that attend Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin's annual business conference next Wednesday and Thursday at the Alliant Energy Center. Find details on the agenda at pdpw.org.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust the pros at Steffes Group to get the best return on your investment. Steffes is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales rep near you and discuss your options today. That's steffesgroup.com. S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. The shock of the tariff seems to have worn off just a little bit in Chicago. December corn right now is up 2 at 4.49. November new crop beans are currently up 4 at 10.08. July wheat's up 6 at 5.58. Barrel cheese did drop 5 and a quarter to 1.73. 40-pound block cheese was down 11 and a half at 1.60 and a half. And double A butter dropped 9 and a half yesterday to 2.25 a pound. There's your market snapshot. I'm PM Yankee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. Snow will be heavy at times, especially during the day Wednesday. Total accumulation expected around 3 to 7 inches. Overnight lows in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees and blustery northeast winds. Right now it's 34.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Between me, you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll break down the presidential address with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and see what's ahead for Ukraine. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And welcome back. This is a Climate Check on this Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio. Melissa Baldoff is with us, as she is every week. Melissa, hello. How are you?
Hello. You know, that's a great question. How are... How are we?
Dear. You know, I'm just going to assume you watched nearly none of the president's speech last night. So I'm assuming that's kind of a rhetorical question based on other actions. And we're going to talk a bit about that throughout the course of the next few minutes here. But yeah, how are we is definitely a fair question pretty much every day now, isn't it?
It sure is. As the saying goes that I've seen a number of times on online, oh, to be living in precedented times again. So I would just love to be living in precedented time. And we're going to try to make some sense of it.
We are. So let's start with the not so nice news. But then we've got at least one nice development in Wisconsin to talk about in a bit. But let's start with a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article from Caitlin Luby from last week. Simple headline, 800 federal workers fired at NOAA, which impacts weather forecasts and Great Lakes science. Now, NOAA is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's the parent agency of the National Weather Service. NOAA conducts research and monitoring. It informs forecasts. They study the Great Lakes. They manage the National Marine Sanctuary System, including three in the Great Lakes that protect biodiversity and shipwrecks. Gosh, Melissa, what a complete fraudulent waste of money that is, right? Forecasting the weather and studying the Great Lakes.
Oh, my goodness. I know. And, you know, this is one of those things where your listeners might recall us talking about this as a potential, disaster in waiting, something that the Trump administration might do. This is something that was in Project 2025, the very Project 2025 that definitely wasn't going to happen and definitely wasn't Trump's plan.
And he had no idea what it was, right?
He had no idea what it was. And yet here we are, that this is what we're faced with this, very important agency that does work that keeps people safe, really touches and benefits everybody, is going to have these drastic cuts that are going to really impact a lot of folks and leave us with a lot less time to prepare for disasters.
Isn't it kind of a shoot the messenger thing that obviously this is a guy who does not care about the climate, certainly does not care about the future. He is very much in the extraction business. In other words, get everything you can and hope that your kids and grandkids just figure it out. And so if you don't want to be warned about hazards to the climate, well, then get rid of some of the people who, as Caitlin notes in her story, keep track of the sky, the oceans, the fisheries, the atmosphere. And she notes that deep cuts could slow the long-term weather and climate monitoring and leave Americans with less time to prepare for extreme weather, natural disasters, and put cultural resources and biodiversity at risk. I don't have a better potential explanation for it, because it's clear that this isn't something where people were sitting around playing Parcheesi all day and wasting taxpayer resources. Mm-hmm. So a shoot the messenger on climate explanation is the only one that seems to make sense for me.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing where when you've got these guys who, for one, for whatever reason, don't believe the science and don't want to accept the reality of the fact that these natural disasters are being made significantly worse by climate change. And then you've got rich, out of touch billionaires who don't feel the harm the same way that, working class families do. You know, do you think that Elon Musk is going to suffer if a hurricane wipes out his home or if a tornado wipes out his home? He's not. He's going to be fine because he's probably got 20 more houses he could live in. It's not the same as somebody who has worked their whole life to have a place to live and who loses it to a tornado, or is unable to work, you know, for 3 weeks because there's a flood in their small business and they're not able to keep the doors open. So when it doesn't impact these guys because they don't understand the reality that most Americans are facing, you know, they just can't relate.
Well, that's what gets us back to this notion that we talked about during the Biden administration of something called environmental justice. Now, I get it. Just that phrase alone seems to be triggering to the far right, that it's some kind of, you know, woke term. It's very easy to understand. And Melissa, you set it up so well. Elon Musk can buy another house on the spot and pay cash all the way. And what you had instead was a growing awareness that when you plan for things, anything that could have an impact on the climate, your infrastructure, power plants, whatever the case might be, you make sure that it's not going to harm the populations that always seem to get harmed first when there is some kind of weather or environmental disaster. But again, in the notion of we must defeat wokeism in the same way that we must defeat the scientists that tell us about the climate, there isn't any rational explanation that would be behind this. And it along with everything else that we've talked about already, it also tracks geomagnetic storms that interfere with telecommunications and the power grid. Melissa, for a guy that I often liken to, well, both Trump and Musk, I liken to, you know, movie supervillains. I mean, we're literally setting up the prospect that we have all this interference in the internet and in the power grid and everything. And when Trump says, well, where's this coming from? People are going to say, well, you fired the people that could have told us this was coming.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, when this first happened, I remembered back to being a kid growing up in Florida, and in elementary school during hurricane season. So probably like September, October, we would have a lesson in science class where we would get, there would always be something in the newspaper, like the meteorologist, they would have a map, right? When there was about to be a hurricane coming. And we would learn how to plot on a map the different possible paths. And all the people in Florida and Georgia and North Carolina and Texas and Mississippi and Louisiana, you know, they're gonna have to learn how to do that again. So I hope they remembered. It's terrifying to think that folks who are gonna have a hurricane headed their way aren't gonna know exactly where it's coming and how they're gonna get out safely. And to think about, you know, the communications not being secure and safe and accurate when we have other disasters coming through. So, this one's a real, I really don't get it.
It is truly a head scratcher here. And again, not a waste of money. We can give you plenty of examples of actual wasted money. Tax cuts for billionaires kind of come to mind. So let's pivot here into some better news. We have the latest example of how a school district in Wisconsin has done a major energy upgrade thanks to Focus on Energy. They're going to save a lot of money, and that means that the taxpayers are going to save a lot of money. Melissa Osseo-Fairchild is just the latest instance where Focus on Energy makes a real tangible difference in Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is so cool. I love seeing reports about our schools making these investments in, you know, clean energy technology. They are finding out that these projects are not only achievable and accessible, but they are going to save money and be incredibly efficient. And this is really cool. It's like, it's a game changer for these for these school districts. So, like you said, the Osseo Fairchild School District, working with Focus on Energy, they replaced the chiller in the middle and high school with a high efficiency model. And their outdoor lighting, including the parking lot fixtures, they all upgraded to LED lights, which save energy. So said that they have saved about $27,000 or they got $27,000 in energy efficiency incentives, and they're going to save a whole lot of money on their energy costs as well.
Yeah. I mean, just in August alone, when there was, this was getting going, the monthly bill for the middle and high school fell by more than $3,000, another $1,100 at the elementary school. That's money that could then be reinvested in maintenance and other facilities advancements, which, again, create more value for the district. And if you're saving money for the school district, that's, those are costs that then don't have to get passed along to the taxpayers through the levy. So when we talk about the Trump administration's, you know, war on green energy and trying to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act and all the tax credits that go along with it, make no mistake, this can do some real harm or prevent a lot of good, but Focus on Energy was around well before, you know, the Trumpers came around, and there are still going to be state and local incentives or progress made on embracing green energy.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just important for folks to remember that, you know, as much as, you know, we know that the Trump administration is, you know, trying to, you know, take an axe to a lot of the Inflation Reduction Act and the Biden era progress that we made, there are still programs that are in place, you know, some at the state level, at the local level, even some of the Inflation Reduction Act programming like direct pay, which allows for tax rebates, that program very much still intact. You know, there are still a lot of great ways that people can take and you know, individuals, businesses, nonprofit entities can still take advantage of incentives from state and federal and local government, from philanthropy, to make some of these projects more affordable. And, you know, these projects are going to save money in the long run, too. So it's going to be a good, it's going to be a good investment no matter what. And there are still ways to make some of these projects more affordable. So I would definitely encourage anyone who's listening to check out Focus on Energy. We have an incredible resource and Focus on Energy in Wisconsin. We have, I would say, you know, we always want to brag on our Wisconsin programs, but we really do have the best program out of all of the energy programs across the country. That is how we were able to get our home energy rebates up and running first in the country when they launched last year, is because we have such a well-run program here in Wisconsin. And anyone who is interested in how they can get rebates for their home, for projects that they're thinking about for their business, they should really check out Focus on Energy and see what's available, because there are still programs that are available.
And finally, just very quickly, a note again that Melissa's part of the panel event that we're having next week about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And yes, climate and jobs will be a part of it. Melissa, I sense you and I are going to have a lot to talk about next week on the whole notion of what if the Wisconsin Supreme Court once again becomes a subsidiary of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. That would have a real impact on our, on our, you know, clean energy progress in the state.
Sure would.
We're going to have to talk all about that at the Overture Center next Wednesday evening, starting in the 5 o'clock hour. Melissa will be there along with a whole bunch of other panelists to discuss the ramifications of getting out to vote for that state Supreme Court race on April 1st. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for this week's Climate Check. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We will have today's history lesson up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Dan Schaefer, let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
So, one of the more unusual songs of the 1980s from Murray Head, who was born 79 years ago with One Night in Bangkok. Never thought you'd hear a top 40 hit about a chess tournament. But now you have.
This is such a good song.
I know. I love it. I love this song.
I love it, too.
It's just so different.
I'm going to make the most hated song in the world today. I'm going to play synthesized song.
See, he knows the secret formula for success. Melissa Kay is here from WFHR in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids, and also from 105.5 WIRI. How are you, Melissa?
Good morning. I am fabulous.
Oh. She is lying.
Wow.
A scarf wouldn't do it today, guys. I had to go full hoodie.
Oh, you do have a hoodie on, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Look at that.
Kind of has that, that Jedi look almost, like she just needs to... Melissa's under the weather is what we're trying to say, folks. And she is being a gamer. She is pushing right through.
So American of me.
We appreciate it. So we did ask Melissa, well, as always, when you're here each week to talk about the fine programming at 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI, anything to talk about at the stations? And in one word, it is?
Sports.
Sports.
And snow.
Okay, two words. Sports and snow.
They're both S words.
That's three words
I can say on the radio.
A lot of high school sports action.
And actually, it's state powerlifting this weekend, coming up this weekend. And our one of our reporters, Laura Berg, has been following powerlifting. She's had a number of wonderful articles like outlining and explaining what powerlifting is. And for a sports, I don't know what you would call me, idiot, that really is very helpful. Well, I can play sports. I don't follow sports. I don't watch sports.
We understand.
Yeah, but sports idiot just is a little, that's a little harsh on yourself. I don't enjoy that. So
sports.
Okay.
You're not as adept at sports as others.
Ignoramus. How about that?
No. That's not, all right. Not anybody. Moving on to today's history lesson. Another birthday today from another 80s artist. Eddie Grant is 77 years old today. A lot of unusual songs in the 80s.
Yeah. You get me pumped up.
Yep. On this day in 1946, Winston Churchill coined the phrase Iron Curtain in a speech in Missouri about the Soviet Union. The Boston Massacre was held this day in 1770. Five Americans shot and killed by British troops in an event that would contribute to the outbreak of the Revolutionary War 5 years later. Let's see. That's enough 80s. Let's get a little bit of 70s in here. Barbra Streisand had a song that went number one this day in 1977 from a movie she starred in.
Soft as an easy chair. Now you put me to sleep, Pat.
This Bags. Is so the opposite of Electric Avenue. Fresh as the morning. For those folks who saw A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
There were other versions, and this was the 1976 version with Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson.
That was the fourth version, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes. There's been multiple versions of this going way back.
Yeah.
Check your Encyclopedia Britannica, kids.
Ask your meemaw about Encyclopedia Britannica, kids.
Yep. Now we've reached the sad part of the segment with artists who were gone much too soon. Tina Marie was born this day in 1956.
And I believe it when she says it.
Yes. She had Lover Girl and passed away in 2010 at the age of 54. Patsy Cline was killed in an airplane crash this day in 1963. She was just 30 years old. And we played Andy Gibb earlier. He was born this day in 1958. So on what should have been his 67th birthday, we have to note that he passed away in 1988, also at the age of 30. And one more. John Belushi was found dead of a drug overdose
what
in his bungalow.
What are you doing to me?
This day in 1982 at the age of 33.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Just 30s.
Oh, did I say one more? I was wrong. Here, there's one more after this. First, we have to tell you that on this day in 1983, Michael Jackson had the number one hit in the country.
And here comes Pat to depress you.
To tell you, this was 1983, but on this day in 2009, Michael Jackson announced a series of concerts to be held in London, the This Is It series. The shows quickly sold out, but Michael Jackson would die before the tour could begin. This is Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Very serious. But this is also, who made this up? You're familiar with Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. Today's the 5th of March. It's also Cinco de Marcho.
It's...
No. You don't get to do it twice. You wait till May.
First of all, some guy named Ted in accounting who's just like, I wasn't trying to be funny. It got way out of hand, and I don't know how it happened.
Oh, this got to be a holiday.
Yeah. Everybody jumped on it. Yep. I don't know.
This is National Absinthe Day, and if you haven't had the worst hangover of your life from it, don't start now, kids. This is Equal Pay Day. This is National Cheese Doodles Day. This is Real Film Day, R-E-E-L, like when film was on reels and not all digitized like it is now. And this is Information Architecture Day, which is all about the people who take all the data on our computers and in our databases on the interwebs and make it easy to find, which we need an appreciation day like that because there are plenty of other places where information is not set up very properly in our computers and in our databases. So folks who do a good job at it, thank you. Melissa Kay, you do a good job so well so often for us in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you for soldiering on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump is doubling down on tariffs.
Tariffs are about making America rich again and making America great again, and it's happening, and it will happen rather quickly.
Speaking to a joint session of Congress, Trump singled out Europe, Brazil, India, and others that tax U.S. imports, and he says reciprocal tariffs will start April 2nd. Trump used the speech to push other parts of his agenda forward. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
In his address, President Trump claimed he would soon balance the budget.
I want to do what has not been done in 24 years.
But he's endorsed a plan by Republicans in Congress to extend tax cuts and enact spending reductions that would add trillions to the nation's budget deficit. He looked over in the chamber and said this to Democrats.
I'm sure you're going to vote for those tax cuts because otherwise I don't believe the people will ever vote you into office. So I'm doing you a big favor by telling